Hello, I'm Trevor Dan, and you are listening to Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Thank you, Trevor. I don't know, we almost had a car crash of an entry into the news there, but thankfully, Cameron, thanks to your power and Emma Tinson, we managed to get through it. Those No Adults Allowed jingle, they're swoosh, straight in there. Never mind. Breathe. That's the important thing. Always remember to breathe. Laura McCormack, the latest country vixen. Yeah. She's defined a vixen, is actually who's around here.
Yeah.
So, hard range to live up to, but it's your choice this week, Cameron. So go on. And by the way, Emma, welcome to the programme.
Yes, thank you.
So, I realised that I was just being very impolite, going straight in,
I'm
jumping
sorry
into
I
matter.
Snuck in.
It's always important. That's the great thing. Cameron, the floor is yours.
I guess being vixen is a little bit nicer way of saying stone cold fox, I guess. I don't know. But yes, this week we're featuring Laura McCormack. And she's got a brand new album out called Box Full of Trouble. And I'll tell you what, it is smoking. It's her debut album, and it's got kind of everything on there from party girl anthems to kind of soulful songs about heartbreak and vulnerability. And a lot of people compared her sound to like Bonnie Raitt and Wilson of Heart and Linda Ronstadt. So those are some pretty big boots to fill, but I think she does it. Her name is Laura McCormack, and this is her brand new single on Siren FM.
Say, Emma, maybe Laura decided, oh, I'm bored with this, I'm just going to go off and have a cup of tea or something. Only kidding, Cameron, it's all right. We know she's a professional songer, she's a songstress person. She wouldn't just leave the musicians to say, okay, guys, just keep on playing, I'll just go off and kind of, you know, whatever. So there we are.
Isn't that, that's a cool song, isn't it? And it just, I don't know, it has that kind of smolder to it, you know? Which
let's
is appropriate
find...
because it's helped feel the fire.
Nice. See what you did there, Cameron.
Yeah, I did.
Emma Tinson, what did you make of Feel the Fire, Laura McCormack?
Yeah, I thought it was quite interesting. She's obviously got a very strong voice, and you could hear the sort of rock vibes coming through there. So she's obviously a bit of a rock chick.
Despite her remarkable talents, Laura's life hasn't always revolved around music. Most listeners will be surprised to find out that Laura earned her bachelor's degree in nursing from MTSU.
Yes, that's Mid-Tennessee State University.
Of course! And has passionately worked in the healthcare industry as an ICU nurse for the past 6 years.
Oh, wow, that's quite a career change.
She's a saint and a rock star.
Fantastic.
Astounding. With a father who once turned down an offer to play professional baseball for a more reliable career, surely some mistake, Laura was not willing to play it safe and let her dreams pass her by. While performing in small shows around her hometown of Tullahoma, Tennessee, doing guest lead vocals for local bands, Laura was spotted by music industry veteran Frank Schofield. Fate struck a chord, and the two began working together, writing and developing material for her debut album, Box Full of Trouble.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably the nursing outfit. And obviously
she's gone from I see you to I hear you.
Oh, wow. Wow, that was smooth.
Genius.
I don't get paid the big bucks for nothing.
I know.
Exactly. You know, it's nip and tuck, really, is it? Cameron Tilbury and Multiple Star Music and Media. Or is it, you know, a Daniel Levy at Tottenham Hotspur Football Club? Who knows? Front line in terms of where things are coming from. Anyway, so what do you think, Emma? Should we actually put in the I mean, Julie C. Myers is joining us on the show next week. So do you think we should inquire as to whether Laura McCormack might be willing to sort of make her transatlantic debut?
I think so. I think everyone should get the chance. Come on. I mean, we do have to be very strict, and we can only let good people on.
This is true.
But I think she makes the cut.
Well, so you let me on, so I figured your standards had got real low.
No, nonsense.
Last two questions for Cameron Tilbury. Please, Emma.
Of course. Cameron, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It's been extra special because you've been here.
Oh, thanks. So nice.
See, this is the line, you see.
I know.
Clearly, the co-presenters and Madrid Drivettes from last week realised they couldn't cope, Emma, so... sorry, Christy and Jessica. You know, but there we are.
And will you be joining us on the show again next week?
I certainly will. I'll be back.
He's not going to be a broken-down angel. Julie C. Myers will be with us on the Midweek Drive next week.
Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
Yay! Anna Lewis, it's a joy to have you connected with a phone that works as well. We've had challenges with phones over the last week. In fact, actually, Deborah Wilson-David, deputy head of the School of English and Journalism at the University of Lincoln, was in Jersey with indeed the college head Matthew Krager recently, and indeed a former graduate who I gather hosts the news in Jersey called Salt, Edward Salt.
It's
Edward
clearly Salt. A popular place to be.
Oh, I know Edward Salt. He's lovely.
Well, he's a graduate. He's a graduate of the same degree program that Emma Tinson's doing at present. You see. So that you see, it helps connect us with Jersey. I'll probably find out exactly where they were in a few minutes. It's various school based things. It was a higher educational careers fair that was taking place. That's great stuff. Moving on, what sort of things have you been doing this week, Anna Lewis?
Well, I wish I could say there were lots of exciting things to do in Jersey this time of year, but there is something coming up, and it's a solstice evening at Lahug B, which is an underground prehistoric, in fact it's the oldest in Western Europe, prehistoric kind of underground cave, and the alignment when it comes to solstice is stunning. You get the sun just literally coming straight through the centre aisle of this underground structure, and it's quite spectacular. So that's coming up this weekend. The last week I've had a friend over from England who was fortunate enough to stay in a hotel at St. Brelard's Bay, and on laterooms.com, instead of actually putting on the website that it was £420 a night, they put it was £42 a night. and she had the penthouse all to herself.
Oh, wow.
And they honoured it. They honoured it at £42 a night. So the trick is to take them off guard, the late rooms, and you might bag yourself a bargain.
And we found out the information. Professor Matthew Krager, along with Jamie Wood from the School of History and Heritage, Deborah Wilson-David from the School of English and Journalism, and Natalie Mawson from the College of Arts, she's our marketing officer, joined representatives from 63 other universities at the Jersey Higher Education Careers Fair at Hortley, or is it Hortlew?
No, it's my old school. Holier,
exactly. Holier, of course, not Hartley at all.
The French coming through.
Well, did you know that Holier actually sort of had this celebration of?
Yes, I did. I would love to have been able to go to it, but unfortunately, I was really, really busy at work. I know one of the ladies that organises it, who is called Mary Ailing Phillips, And we were discussing it on Thursday, actually, and saying there are not enough arts degrees in Jersey. The focus of our local government is to promote degrees in finance and business studies and administration, social services.
Well,
but not art subjects, which is silly.
The staff at Holyoke School, a selective state secondary school,
It's a grammar school, really.
Fancy.
are proud of their facilities and achievements, and have invited the College of Arts back to work with them. So you see, our little pioneering role here. Not that we get any acknowledgement, of course, Emma, for actually opening up this whole link with Jersey in the first place. Is there, you know, back to work with them in the summer on a gifted and talented project on World War
One. Oh, excellent.
So you see? Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
Who would have thought you'd have that connection? We may well get a midweek drive, a location report to Jersey at some
time. Oh, definitely.
Well, that's so exciting. I've got to actually say, Anna, are you willing to join us again after the news?
What time is that?
That would be 5 to 6 in Jersey time, and indeed British time as well.
That would be lovely.
I thought twice back again from that point of view. Katrina Lakin, we send you best wishes, but she's feeling very poorly and she can hardly speak, which, as you'll appreciate, on this sort of basis, if you're going to ask somebody to talk about their time in a barbershop quartet choir and they can't speak, it's not going to work at all. So your treat then, Anna, is to just give me a name of an artiste, and we'll see if Mr. Computer can come up with the goods for you.
An artiste as in a singer?
Yeah, I think so, as opposed to a painter, because that's not going to work
as well.
Whole
picture.
Exactly.
I know this is really cheesy, but Matt Cardle, who was the winner of The X Factor a couple of years ago.
I forgot about him.
Most people do.
Most people have.
No, he was quite good, though, wasn't he?
Yes.
And it looks as though Mr. Computer has also, tragically, presumably C-A-R-D-L-E.
Yes,
It's not looking good. Do we have a second number? Or are we going to have a Fiona Curzon theme where effectively we can go through the entire computer system?
What about Adele and Skyfall? Because that was really good.
We must have that.
I would have thought so. I mean, it's a Bond movie. It's connecting every sense of the word. And, you know, as indeed Dame Judi Dench said, take the shot. Take the shot now, for goodness sakes. Anna Lewis will be back with us in about 30 minutes from now. Yay!
Lovely. Bye.
If you've battled the supernatural forces of evil as Jeannie Hopkirk, helped the saint to vanquish villains and danced on the Riviera with Tony Curtis and Roger Moore, being a regular midweek drive correspondent from California is the clear way forward. I'm Annette Andre, and I'd like to congratulate you for choosing this station and podcast.
There are essentially two versions of the Teen Titans, the Junior Justice League version that appears in the comic books, and the vastly superior and much more amusing animated version. Teen Titans Go! Volume 1, Party Party, is based on the second iteration of the cartoon series, the version where the already cute models of Robin, Starfire, Raven and Cyborg were somehow made even cuter. Emma, I can't believe that Starfire could be made even cuter. Your alter ego. Stanley, the only person who can actually help us out with this particular number is sequential art editor extraordinaire. That's quite literally S-A-E-C. Sequential art editor extraordinaire for the fantastic Starburst magazine, the world's longest running magazine of cult entertainment. That would be whom, Emma?
Is it Ed Fortune?
Ed Fortune! Yay!
Fantastic.
Ed, how did the meeting go? Are you still alive, safe, and happy and joyous?
I am all of those things and probably much more. I think the thing that really works with Teen Titans is that marvellous theme tune by Yemi Yamomange, because they are just fun, aren't they? It's just a lot of fun. But yes, a lot of fun to read as well. It's a great book, actually, especially from DC, who are normally a little bit formulaic, but when they do something well, they really do something well.
Well, you see, this is the point, and I've often discussed it with Phil Linus, obviously our main man in Los Angeles, who's actually just put up on Facebook a lovely little line: if you are like me, or even if you just like me. See what I did there? If you are like me, or even if you just like me, you are getting things accomplished while enjoying the often spectacularly entertaining and occasionally bizarrely entertaining Midweek Drive.
Aww. How sweet. I feel like he wants something from us, though. I feel like he's being too nice.
I have actually sent him the scripts, Emma, for customised Emma Tinson jingles. Promo. So,
I'll be nice then.
Yes, a top-notch show for Siren FM, Southside Broadcasting of the UK. He'll be along to join the fun during the show's final half hour, which is approximately 11:30 a.m. Pacific, because, of course, they're still a little bit ahead
Looking
of us.
Forward to it.
Moving back to Teen Titans Go, Volume 1, Party Party, written by Sholly Fish, etc. My point being, before I got into that little divertissement with Phil Dennis, Phil's very much of the belief that Marvel, infinitely superior to DC. I always kind of grew up with DC with, and I remember the issue well, Ed, an edition of Batman featuring Poison Ivy. And from that point on, from then, Green Lantern, Superman, I was sort of DC, and I always felt Marvel, whilst I enjoy them and I appreciate all the wondrousness that Marvel bring, somehow, you know, Teen Titans with the go-go scenario, that Wonder Girl, Aqualad, Kid Flash, Starfire, they just had something a little bit more. But maybe it's just personal preference. Where do you sit on this one?
I would say make mine indie, but that's just me.
Yes.
when it comes to the dichotomy between Marvel and DC, the thing is, when you grab a DC fan, they will always tell you about the past, and they will always tell you about their favourite Batman comic from the past.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, 1980s, you know? What's not to love about that?
That isn't Ms. Marvel, is it? Ms. Marvel is marvellous. Captain Marvel is marvellous. There are a whole bunch of new Marvel books that are doing what DC did to you in the 70s and 80s. And Marvel are being more... They're trying to be more cutting edge, and they're more clever. They're not afraid to break formulas as much. Take, for example, Chip Zdarsky, who is now writing on Howard the Duck. Most people know him in the indie comic book scene from another book entirely.
I just have to say, Ed, whenever you say the words Howard the Duck, I have to go, wah!
That was terrifying.
Let's not talk about the movie, but you look at Chip Zdarsky and you look at his output, and some of it's quite adult, so I'll avoid talking about it on a Tea Time show. But it's very similar to Steve Gerber's work in the 70s. And it's not identical, it's similar.
To be fair, Ed, you know, some of the work that Steve Gerber put together with the Defenders was truly wonderful, you know, as we worked through that. And indeed, the introduction of the psychopathic elf, I thought, was well put together. You know, it was nice. Because with Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer, Hulk, Valkyrie, Nighthawk, etc., you need, Emma, a psychopathic elf. Surely. It's just left hanging there in its own unique, marvellous way. But I will still stand by my belief, and I know you're saying it's talking in the past, Ed, that the Neil Adams, Denny O'Neill run on Green Lantern has to be one of the finest ever, really. Particularly the one for the drug issue, where Green Arrow's nephew, who's called Speedy, is actually on drugs. Ironic,
wow.
But deeply moving.
You will get no argument from me on there. And I love the fact that on the TV show Arrow, they kept pulling those blinds on us as well. Because you ask anyone with a passing knowledge of Green Arrow, you know, who Speedy is, and that particular run and that particular storyline. First episode, there's a girl, nicknamed Speedy, who takes drugs. everyone thinks they can see it coming, and of course, well, spoilers, you can't. They've changed the rules entirely, which is what that show was saying. They were saying, it looks like Green Arrow, but it really isn't. It's all stuff that you love, but we've changed it to make it more modern and more interesting and to keep everyone on their toes, which is very good. DC are doing very well with the TV shows.
Next week on the Midweek Drive, Jamie Anderson returns, and even more exciting, in June, between the 12th and the 14th of June, partly sponsored by Starburst, of course, Anderson Entertainment presents AnderCon in Leicester. But even then, it gets more exciting because, Emma, what's happening on May the 6th when you get a chance to meet in person Ed Fortune?
It's the Telefantasy
and Society Conference, our first ever at the University of Lincoln. Are you excited, Ed?
I am. You can hear it in my voice.
That was very different. You're like, I am.
It's very positive in every sense of the word. Currently looking at the recent edition of Starburst magazine, and I have to say a little mention to Livy Boot, because she comes up with The Girl from Planet X and asks the question, Star Trek, the original series, is it still relevant? When Star Trek aired in 1966, it was enormously progressive, but what about now? Is its future of equality still inspirational for women? Does it still have the power to make people, everyone, dream to boldly go where no man one has gone before? And she actually argues that actually is, regardless of its faults, it's definitely made its mark in the history of feminism, and it's definitely still relevant. I'll pass over the little article to yourself there, to producer. Obviously, we're circulating through issue 310 of Starburst magazine. Lots of other good things are available from that perspective. But do you get a chance to read the rest of the magazine, Ed, or is it a case of, no, I am the sequential art editor, and therefore I do not have time to cross over with respect to what other wonderful colleagues are writing?
I read the entire thing cover to cover, and I have to say Girl from Planet X is one of my favourite columns. She's always, you know, I always find myself just thinking, you know, there's always something new in there, and there's always a new fresh perspective, and they're always very, very well done as well. 410 is a great issue, actually. 411's coming out very soon as well.
Yes, exactly. It will be duly... In fact, actually, we would have been talking about 410 a couple of weeks back, but Ed was so kind in allowing us to sort of squeeze and change things around because we were pushed for space and time, etc. So
nice.
I had to sort of, in metaphorical email, bend a knee, say, Ed, could we possibly switch you to this particular time slot? We can get more chance to actually relate to the whole system and prepare you indeed for one of the classic choices that will be coming up, in which I'll be asking you, Ed, I'll give you a few moments to think about this. Leonard Nimoy or William Shatner? I'll say that again. Leonard Nimoy or William Shatner? Both of them. I mean, in fact, Leonard would have been celebrating his 86th birthday a week tomorrow.
And
we will be doing a little piece with, indeed, the founder of the Aintree Grand National Museum to commemorate that, which I'm sure even your good self, Ed, didn't appreciate, that the curator and founder of the Aintree Grand National Museum was actually a very keen Star Trek fan and once met Leonard Nimoy.
Cool.
Yeah. But Emma, questions for Ed Fortune, if you please.
Yeah. Well, I thought we'll stay on the topic of sort of female role in Star Trek. What do you think about the upcoming female roles in DC? Because we've got the Supergirl film coming out and Wonder Woman as well, eventually. What do you think about the costumes that have been released, the initial images? Because a lot of people seem to have controversial opinions on it, I think.
I have no problem with the Supergirl costume. It's a Supergirl costume. It works. You've got a limited range as to what you can do. If you change it too much, it doesn't look like Supergirl. So I can see what they've done. They haven't gone with Power Girl, thank goodness. And they've gone with something that's quite, you know, works reasonably well. With Wonder Woman, I want more Xena. I want more Greek-style armour. I want more padding. I want to see a sword. I like Wonder Woman when she's in her combat mode, when she's proper Amazon, because it's, you know, it's a fantastic design, and there's so much you can do with Wonder Woman as a design as well. There's been many iterations of the costume. I think she's... I don't have any data on this to hand, but she's probably one of the most tinkered with costume designs ever when it comes to comic books. There's so many different versions of Wonder Woman. And kind of the stuff I've seen so far, I think it's maybe a little bit of a waste.
think there's more they can do with it. And you can, there's so much strength you can put into that costume as well. I just want to see more. Basically, I want to see more armour. I want to see a bigger sword, as well as a lasso.
Well, you wouldn't be in disagreement, I'm sure, with William Moulton, who obviously set the thing up when he wasn't inventing the lie detector test in the first place. So I think very much to the fore there. For me, though, Helen Slater always be the quintessential Supergirl, not just because she's been on the show, but, you know, she's fine. So, although I think Laura did a fine job in the Smallville series. Moving on, any other particular highlights you'd like to sort of address, Ed, whilst you're sort of around? Because there are lots of conventions, lots of events that are actually happening. We mentioned a couple. We'll be focusing, obviously, on a grand event that some of your colleagues are organising in Blackpool later on in the year. We do seem to have a lot of joyous festivals. In fact, we did manage to connect over with the East Midlands Comic Con that took place over the weekend. Do you feel that, in essence, this is a brave new dawn for geekdom?
It really is. I mean, I wasn't at MCon. I was at Sci-Fi Scarborough this weekend.
And I missed you, Ed, and I felt so guilty because we did a link with somebody who was there, and Shane Rimmer, of course, was there, and I'd kind of half said, and I was also half promised Emma she might go along to the whole thing, and it just shot by. But how was it? Did you enjoy it? Did it do Scarborough proud?
It does, and the thing about Sci-Fi Scarborough, I've noticed, is it's all about Scarborough. It's not a local event for local people. It's very much a national event that you can come along and you enjoy Scarborough. And they brought in local talent, there's a local college, there's local bands, there's, you know, the local societies, and yet also, from a national and international level, all the world would beat them there. So it's kind of, it showcases why people come to Scarborough in the first place and show Scarborough off in front of all the geeks in the world. And that really works. It's quite a charming event. I was charmed.
Hey.
Well,
I think we'll book our tickets for next year. But we haven't forgotten, of course, Ed. We did promise that we're going to come over to Manchester in the not-too-distant future and actually check you guys out at the Fab Radio International, the Fab Cafe. So hopefully if that's on, we can coordinate something. Possibly post-Telefantasy in Society, or maybe even before. I don't know. We'll sort of see what happens.
Who knows? Who knows?
Exciting. He hasn't sort of said you're more than welcome, of course, Emma. So
you are more than welcome.
He doesn't want us there. We just need to accept it.
And I will be around in Wales at Sci-Fi Weekend this weekend coming as well.
Ah, you see. Fantastic. So you can keep us updated of so these grand things.
You're
that we're
so busy.
Of...
How do you get to get around the
because
country so
Because he's a
so
secret
much.
Superhero. Because he's on the show. Because he's going to decide. Are we going to send the listener down ahead of the news to William Shatner's version of Mr. Tambourine Man or Lennon and Moy singing If I Was a Carpenter?
Difficult.
I'll give you a little burst of what you would have had.
Mr. Tambourine Man.
I mean, just the opening line, you know. I mean, take the birds, take Bob Dylan, and the way in which he has that slight hesitation of
Mr. Tambourine Man.
I mean, surely, you know, but no, I suppose in deference to, you know, the movement to beyond in all sorts of ways, we will move to the great Lennon Nimoy and If I Was a Carpenter. But before then, the last two questions, please, for Ed Fortune. Emma.
Of course. Ed, have you enjoyed your time on the Midweek Drive today?
Of course I have. It's always a pleasure.
Fantastic. And will you be joining us again on the show in the near distant future?
I would absolutely love to.
Well, we've got Starburst 411 to actually dissect and work
exactly.
through.
Exactly. So fantastic.
That's got a whole range of treats from that point of view.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?